Let's get wild. It's the Zoo Minute with Greg Dancho from Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo on Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Oh my goodness. If you have not seen the video posted on the Connecticut Beardsley Zoo's Facebook page, you should go and check it out. There are some new faces at Connecticut's only zoo this morning. We now have five baby cotton patch geese, and they are so cute. But why is this so significant? Zoo Director Greg Dancho is here to explain. Hey, Greg, congratulations.
Good morning. Yeah, spring babies. Nice to see, right?
They're so cute.
They are very cute. And baby geese and baby ducks are just the cutest things on the planet. Anyway.
I'm with you on that. Yep. I distinctly remember my favorite days in elementary school was when we were able to hatch baby chicks and baby ducks at North Stratfield Elementary School in Fairfield. Yep. Shout out to them. It was the best. Yeah. The best. Oh, my gosh.
Well, these cotton patch geese are first for here. First we ever had them here at the zoo. We brought them in about 6-7 months ago. And they're only a year old. So they're still young. The parents are still young themselves. And the reason why cotton patch geese are really interesting because they were really a breed of geese that was used in the South for clearing cotton patches.
Oh, really?
Cotton fields. Yeah, they were put out in the fields to take up the weeds, and because geese are really vegetarians. They eat a lot. In fact, geese like staying on land a lot more than they stay in water.
Oh,
they do a lot of grazing. They'll go in the water because they are ducks and they have the paddle feet, so they'll swim around. But really, they swim from place to place to go find food. They also will go and get aquatic vegetation. But these geese were actually bred for clearing fields where
that
cotton
is so
was
cool.
grown.
Wow!
They wouldn't do anything to the cotton patch, to the cotton plants. But they would clear out everything around it, so allowed the cotton to grow without having weeds growing around with it. So that's what they're out there in the fields for.
It reminds me of like when people get, goats or they get sheep to cut their lawns. Yep. Yeah.
Cut lawns or poison ivy. Goats are a big poison ivy clearer.
Yes.
They can put them in there. But these were done for that. And the reason why they are now a heritage breed, and we talked about this before, heritage breeds are domestic animals that are actually endangered species. Because they're not used anymore. Why aren't cotton patch geese used anymore? Well, because people are using herbicides.
Mm.
You know, I don't have to have geese out there. I can just put down herbicides, and then I can put down other materials down there to help the cotton grow. Because actually, geese were good for out in the fields because they actually fertilized while they were out there heating the plants. But now you can do that with chemicals without having to deal with a goose doing it. And so they became an endangered species unto themselves.
Interesting. Well, is that their only, is that their food source? I mean, just because we didn't need them to keep doing that in the fields, although I bet you a lot of environmentalists are thinking, let's bring them back.
Let's bring them back.
But I mean, why would the population then die out just because they don't technically have a job? Is that because that's their food source?
Well, no, it's because nobody's going to use them anymore. Why breed a species of geese? Why go through the trouble of raising geese if you're not going to use them for that purpose anymore?
So you had to raise them yourself to keep the population going. It wasn't could. Okay.
No, they really didn't go wild out there. They're a domestic breed, and domestic animals really rely on humans. Sometimes they will go feral, like we have feral cats and dogs. But,
right.
But most of the times, geese have to rely on people. Or domestic breeds rely on people to support them.
Okay, I didn't realize they were a domestic breed. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So they declined because of all that I just talked about, the herbicides and things. And now they became considered a critically endangered species through the Livestock Breed Conservancy, which is
we should bring them back.
All these animals.
I mean, aren't we trying to pass more legislation on the pesticides and everything that we use on our golf course?
Exactly.
I mean, let's just get these guys back.
Yep. Well, and you come out to see them. And what's interesting about these guys, too, is that they have different colors. The females are gray in color and the males are white in color. So that's a difference. A lot of species, they have different colors, and especially in birds. But these are really cool because a lot of times these you can now tell who's who. And as the babies grow up, we'll know who's a male and female right there. They're just a very cool animal, and it's one of the things we do here at the zoo with conservation is to look at not only the most endangered species of animals on the planet that are like our leopards and our monkeys and things of that nature, but also the domestic breed. So that's why our whole farmyard has the majority of the animals out there are part of the heritage program. Our guinea hogs and our Dexter cows are all heritage breeds, which means that they are actually an endangered species, even though they're domesticated, because nobody's using them anymore.
Right.
And so,
that's so
trying to bring them back, and get people excited about them and see how they can be used is really an interesting thing. The babies will be here all summer with mom and dad. They will be moved off, and this is what we've done in the past with our guinea hogs. Once we've had offspring, they go on to start to pop again, get that population started to get growing again. And hopefully we bring these animals back from that brink of extinction, which you wouldn't even think that you would think about with a domestic breed.
No. And the thing is it's so, I don't even know if people realize, I myself could say, I didn't realize that, you know, to me, like when I hear about geese or ducks, chickens, like, I mean, I guess it makes sense that you kind of relate them back to farmlands. But it's, you know, to me, I feel like when you go, I think of when I go down, I live in Milford, when I go to the city, the city hall, we've got two duck ponds down there. And I mean, my gosh, to me, to think, wow, there's a type of, you know, there's a type of duck or goose.
You have geese out there too. You have gray lag geese in Milford on the pond. Usually they used to be there. I'm not sure they're there anymore, but the gray lag geese are out there and some Toulouse geese are out there. And again, you know, most of the times people saw them in Milford, they'd be walking across the street, moving from one area. Remember, they graze. Wow. So they'd be by the pond and then move across the street. So everybody had to be very cautious as they were going across. But again, that was used to be things you saw all the time, but not anymore, you know, around these areas.
That makes me very sad, but this is a very happy story. I'm glad to know that we have these really, really cute. Now, where will they go? Because you said they'll be here in the summer and then they'll move on. Like, where do they go?
Well, they're again, this is part of the program, just like the SSP program with the Species Survival Plan we have with our endangered species. These are endangered species, so to have them all stay here would not make much sense.
Right.
So the idea here is to move them off to other farms that are going to be working with these animals to bring them back, to get the population going stronger and stronger and stronger. And we've done that with our guinea hogs. Our guinea hogs, Beardsley Zoo was instrumental in getting the guinea hog population from a very low number to a high number now because of the babies that were born here and then moved off to other areas around the region. We have some guinea hogs, I believe, up in Roger Williams Park Zoo. We had some guinea hogs go down to Stanford Nature Center and to other farms and areas around to get this breed back. So again, same thing we're looking at with the cotton patch goose.
That is so cool. So definitely make sure that you stop by the Beardsley Zoo this summer because they're going to be there till then, but then they go off and have
they
a bigger purpose.
They
do. They really do. And when we come back, actually, Greg, you know, this is very timely, I would think, for the Easter holiday, because we're talking about, you know, ducks and little baby, you know, geese. They're so cute. I mean, it's pretty great timing for this. As we're talking about domestic animals, let's talk about rabbits, shall we? And it's pretty perfect timing. Just days before the Easter holiday, we have Greg Dancho, the zoo director from the Beardsley Zoo here. You have domestic rabbits on property at the zoo, don't you?
We do have domestic rabbits. We do have them in our barn, in our farmyard. And we've had domestic rabbits for many, many years. When I was a kid coming here to the zoo back, you know, 60-something years ago, there used to be a thing called Bunny Village here, actually, at the
zoo.
Really? I don't know if people would think about that. Yeah, going back to some historical perspective. Yeah, back out in the back of the farmyard, not the farmyard that exists today, but the old, old, old farmyard you can look on postcards, old postcards about. There used to be an area in the back which we call Peacock Alley. And Peacock Alley was just a pathway that went through the back part of this area. And it was called Peacock Alley because the peacocks would hang out there.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds like a nightmare for me. I'm sorry. I have a deep fear of peacocks.
Yeah, that's where they like hanging out there. And then they had a thing called Bunny Village. And Bunny Village was an area that was just rabbits were just put in this yard, this large area. And they just were on basically they were fed and taken care of, but they had little houses and little things going on in there. So it was interesting. Let's put it that way. It was an interesting little area.
Hmm.
But we called it Bunny Village. But now we have them in our farmyard. We have some rabbits in our farmyard. And domestic rabbits actually come from European hares, European bunny rabbits. And they've been domesticated over many, 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 many years. And they're just really a neat animal. They have their ears rotate. You know, they're still, even though they're domesticated, they still look for problems. So the ears actually will rotate to listen for sounds to make sure nothing's coming after them. That the ears are also where they can lose heat. Their big ears are up there. They'll stick up there. There's blood vessels in those ears. So those that will be keeping them cool in the summertime because they can get overheated. And so that's one of the ways they can do that. One of the things that's interesting about bunnies or domestic rabbits is they really don't like to be solitary. It's not something they really enjoy. They like to be around other rabbits. They like to be in a group. And you know what a group of bunnies is called?
Rabbi.
No.
What is it called?
It's actually called a herd of rabbits.
Oh, that's so funny.
The males are called bucks. The females are called does. And
so they're
the
just like deer.
Babies
wow.
are called kittens. So, yeah, it goes buck, aww. Doe, herd. So that's all deer kind of related.
Right.
And then the babies are called kittens. Kits are kittens. So, yeah, I don't know where the kittens came from. But
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure if you ask my cat, Olaf, he loves a nice baby rabbit, but not for reasons that you probably would like. Oh, my goodness. That is so interesting. I did not know that.
Well, one of the things about getting rabbits, too, is in domestic rabbits is, again, we talk about a lot of times it's talked about Easter time. People, you know, chicks and ducklings and rabbits are kind of used to be a traditional thing you bought for the family for the Easter, which are really frowned upon.
Mm-hmm.
We frowned upon a little bit because we've mentioned on the show before is that really you have to really look into what you're getting into before you do something. Don't do a spontaneous buy.
Yep.
You know, get out there and investigate and check it out and know that this rabbit that you bring into your house can live up to 12 years in human care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can live 12 years. So you may have this animal for 12 years. So look into it, what they need. They have teeth that never stop growing. So people say, oh, we'll just give them carrots and they'll be fine. But if you don't give them something to gnaw on, if you don't give them a different diets besides carrot, which is good, but not going to give them everything they need, then that is a problem for them. So it's really something you should be looking into before you ever, ever, ever get a pet, any kind of pet. We've talked about that before. But even the rabbits can make good pets. They're very, very gentle. They're very loving. They like to get petted a lot. But really, it's not something you want to bring into your home if you're not prepared for it.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, same thing goes for fowl. I mean, I especially around Easter, it's something that we usually have like the Connecticut Humane Society come on every year ahead of Easter to talk about the typical Easter pets that people will get.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the ducks, the chicks, the rabbits. But what's interesting about it, Greg, is we don't really think about the long term a lot of times. I've told the story many times that I had a friend who I grew up with and I love. We're still very good friends. We've been friends since middle school, and her family, they loved rabbits. They loved them. They always had them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time we went to a birthday of another very good friend of ours. This was in high school. My friend brought that friend a bunny for her birthday. And while the friend was very excited about this, the friend's mother was not that thrilled about it and immediately gave up the rabbit. And I just remember saying, you know, not only do we sometimes not realize what the long term is, but we should also probably find out if that person just thinks cute animals are cute and that's sort of the extent of it. But it's a huge commitment. So, yeah, you got to think about those things.
No, it's a huge commitment. And again, it's something, again, really think about before you do. And again, there are hutches that rabbits kept. Keeping rabbits on hutches is actually a good idea because they don't get stuff stuck in their fur. A lot of these rabbits have long fur. Angora rabbits have a long, long fur, which really needs to be actually brushed because it can get a lot of stuff attached to it. So, yeah, domestic rabbits are very, very interesting. It's something that I think are really great. But, again, think about it because if you did get something like this as a pet, and you weren't prepared for it, and then a month later you're tired of it or you need to do something, it's very, very difficult to find homes for these.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult. You know,
that's
there are some
true.
Areas out there that will take them, but they get overwhelmed with these. And so it becomes a problem. Not, it doesn't become a problem for the people. It becomes a problem for the animal.
Exactly.
And that's really what we care about.
And that's not fair. Absolutely. Well, nope. Greg, I such interesting information, which is really no surprise for you. But I always love learning whenever you come on for our Zoom Minute. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, everybody have a happy holiday this weekend, and we'll see you down the road.
Yes. And are you guys going to have I know you have the video up on the Facebook page, but like for some of your animals, you have live cameras and stuff.
We don't have a live camera on the geese right now, but okay. I have a bunch of zoo photographers and people that will be taking video of these guys. So we'll be posting it on our Facebook page.
Oh, I can only imagine what Jack Bradley has been doing. I can only imagine.
Well,
I cannot wait.
Shout out to Jack. He had some surgery, so he's laid up for a little bit. So, shout out to Jack.
Praying for you.
He won't be up here. If I see him up here taking pictures, then I'm going to call his wife and tell him to come and get him because he shouldn't be here.
Okay. No, that's good to know. Yes, we are watching you, Jack Bradley, and praying for you. Interesting stuff, Greg. Very exciting. A lot of moving parts at the Beardsley Zoo. Make sure you go and check them out, especially over the summertime, because once the summer's over, the little babies are going to go on somewhere else. So it's exciting.
Yep. Time to hop to it.
Hop to it. Oh, my goodness. Had to end with a pun. Love that. Greg Dancho, always appreciate you. Thank you so much. And we will talk again next week.
Take care.
All right, Greg Dantrow of the Beardsley Zoo right here on WACC.